تفسير from verse 69 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما دخلوا على يوسف when they entered to Yusuf meaning the brothers came to Yusuf عليه السلام where Egypt آبا إليه أخاه he called his brother which brother Benjamin alone to himself meaning leaving the rest of his brothers he called Akhahu, his brother. Which brother? Benjamin. Ava. Ava yu'vi iva. To give someone shelter, place to reside. Qala. And he said, Inni, indeed I. Ana, I. Now this has come for stress again. Akhuka, your brother. In fact, I'm your brother. Fala taptais. Now you need not grieve. Tapta is root word ba wow seen bus has a hamza bus means huzn pain grief fala tapta is so do not grieve over what has passed and what is to happen in future bima kanu ya'malun at what they've been doing Not to worry about what their brothers have done until that time. That is, the brothers, whatever they have done to you and me, do not grieve over it. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam met his full brother Benjamin in confidence and told him the story of what happened to him and that he was in fact his brother and told him not to grieve nor feel sad for what they did to him. What a beautiful speech. What a high or great character he has. Whereas our state is, when we get together, sit with our sisters or maybe brothers, our complaint for the other brothers and sisters who are not present there, our complaints never stop. So-and-so did this, so-and-so did that. Or, if not our own siblings, then we talk about our in-laws, sister-in-law, brother-in-law. And there's no one to say, forget it, do not grieve over it. Over here, there are two brothers and both are the victims. But when they're alone, they don't backbite. Neither do they bring up the past stories. What happened, they just forgot. And they say, Fala taptais, do not grieve. Forget it. What is the point of mentioning all this? Do not grieve over it. Bima kanu ya'malun, at what they've been doing. And you see, they themselves are the greatest victims. One was who was thrown in the well. And still he had such a big heart, patience. See how the brothers treated him. And still he ignores what they did. What do? We make small things appear so big. And then we never forget these issues. And you see in فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ There is a beautiful example for those who always complain about their brothers and sisters. Such a good advice. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ Now you need not grieve at what they have been doing. Then what happened? فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ So when he furnished them forth بِجَهَازِهِمْ With their provisions, that is, now it was the time for the caravan to leave. The grain was loaded. Meanwhile, جَعْلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ He put the siqaya. Siqaya is from seen, qaf, ya, a bowl used to drink water from. He put the drinking bowl fi rahli akhihi in his brother's bag. He put it secretly. Thumma adhana muadhinun. Later on, a crier called out. You've read this word before as well. Where? In surah. Al-A'raf. Adhana mu'adhinun. Adhan means to proclaim, to announce loudly. So that is why it is called Adhan because it is announced loudly. The word Adhan is used to call, announce loudly. Then a crier called out, Ayyatuha al-'Ir, O people of the caravan. Al-'Ir. You see, there are new words in the surah, huh? Because it is Ahsanul Qasas, rich vocabulary. Eir is donkey or camel that carries grain. Later it was used for caravan, meaning the caravan that carries grains. And basically, Eir is donkey. Then also it is used for camel. But which camel? Especially the one that carries grain. Here it means caravan, because at that time they were loaded with grain. O people of caravan, carrying grain, innakum lasariqoon, you must be thieves. Surely you are thieves. Now the siqaya or the cup was placed by Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, but the royal staff of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam did not know. So one of them who was on duty, meaning the royal announcer, when he could not find that cup or that bowl, so he was worried, and he announced openly that the king's bowl is missing. You are thieves because you were here. Qalu, they said. وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ, and they turned back, that is, they advanced towards them. They turned back and asked, مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ, what have you lost? What is it that you have lost? تَفْقِدُونَ is from فَا قَاف دَال فَقْت. What have you lost? What is it that you cannot find? قَالُوا, they said. Who? The royal staff of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. نَفْقِدُ سُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ, the royal servant said, we have lost the king's drinking cup. We have lost the bowl of king. Now the word suwa is sa, swat, alif, ayn, a bowl used to drink water from, or a measuring bowl, either to measure food grains with it or to measure water. That is a measuring bowl. Some say siqaya and suwa, sa, they're two different bowls, they're two separate bowls. But according to some, as sa is used for both, that is to measure and to drink water, so that is why once the word siqaya is used for it, and then for the second time the word suwa is used for it. What is a siqaya? A drinking cup. And what is a suwa? Measuring cup. So in fact it was suwa, but what work was taken from it? It was used to measure and also to drink. It was multi-purpose. نَفْقِدُ سُوَعَ الْمَلِكِ, we have lost the king's drinking cup. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ, and the one who brings it will be awarded a camel load of corn. And for him who produces it is a camel load. Who finds it, who brings it back, shall deserve a camel load. He will get one more camel load as a reward. Now mostly what happens is, when something is lost, so what is done so as to find that thing? What do people mostly do? That such and such thing is lost, so whoever finds it will get a reward. So everyone starts to look for that thing in order to get the reward. وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ, and I guarantee it. I stand a surety for it. Meaning whoever finds that cup, I will definitely give him one more camel load. Now the word za'im is from za'am, za'ain meem, on the weight of fa'il. I guarantee it. I am responsible. I will be bound by it. Qalu, they said. Who? The brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam said, Tallahi, by Allah. Swear by Allah. لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ, you certainly know, lam and then qad, that is used for emphasis. Indeed you know, ma jina, we did not come here, لِنُفْسَدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, to make mischief in the land. We did not come to make mischief in the land. Here fasad refers to stealing. وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ, and we are no thieves. قَالُوا, they said, فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ, what would be the punishment, إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ, if you are liars. Now the royal staff said to them, if it stood proved that you are liars, what do you suggest should be the punishment for the theft. قالوا, they said, جزاؤه, his punishment, من, who, وجد, was found, في رحله, in his travelling bag, that is, in whose pack it is found, فهو, then he, جزاؤه, is its recompense. Its punishment is that he, in whose baggage it is found, shall himself be the punishment. Because the punishment for theft in the Sharia of Yaqub alayhi salam allowed the person whose property had been stolen to take the thief as his slave. That is, this was the law of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam's Sharia, that the thief be given as a slave for 1 year to the victim of theft. He stays with him for a year. So they told this law that, okay, if we are thieves, so what is the punishment for theft according to our law? مَنْ وَجَدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ, in whose pack you find the stolen good or property, فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ, so he will be held for punishment. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الظَّالِمِينَ, that is how we punish wrongdoers. Here, ظالم refers to thieves. According to our law, the punishment for thief is that he is arrested and given as a slave to the victim of theft. Whereas under the Egyptian imperial law, according to the law of theft, there was a corporal punishment for the thief, after which he was to be released against payment or fine, that is penalty, and then also the thief was beaten as well, okay? Now what happened? فَبَدَأَ, so started. Who? Now this has two opinions. Number one, some say it was Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, and according to some, it was the state official, meaning the announcer, searched through the baggage. بِأُعْيَتِهِمْ, with their bags. أُعْيَ is the plural of وِعَى. It is coming ahead as well. قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ, before the sack of his brother. That is, before searching Benjamin's bag, the baggage of Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers were first searched. Wi'a is from waw, ayn, ya. ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا, then took it out. مِنْ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ, from the sack of his brother. If we take it to mean Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. كَذَلِكَ, likewise, كِدْنَا لِيُوسُف, we directed Yusuf alayhi salam. We planned for Yusuf alayhi salam. We, meaning Allah, we taught him this way so as to detain his brother. Now the word كِدْنَا is from كَيْد, meaning plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through wahi, ilham, taught Yusuf alayhi salam this planning, that if you want to detain your brother with you, then you can seal the bowl in his baggage secretly. Because you see, there was no other way to detain him. And if Benjamin did not stay with him, then they would not come back when they left. مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ, he could not take his brother, فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ, under the king's law, by the law of king as a captive, under the king's law. Now here deen is used in the meaning of law, and malik means king of Egypt, according to the law of the king of Egypt. So according to the law of the king of Egypt, he could not take his brother as a captive. إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, but Allah willed otherwise. You see, what are the apparent circumstances here? But what is the reality? Many times this happens in this world, that the apparent state seems to be totally against someone, and that person thinks that I am in a loss. But Allah's decisions, only He knows. There is Allah's infinite wisdom and will behind all these happenings. And why does man grieve or is upset? Because of his lack of understanding, because of not knowing the reality of matters.
We also look at the apparent angle of every matter. If the apparent seems good, we quickly make a decision that it is good. And if someone is in our favor, we are happy. And if someone goes against our will, we are depressed. And we say, oh, we are greatly wronged. Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is better for man. And He knows the wisdom behind everything. And man, because of hastiness, starts blaming Allah, starts to complain. He despairs and he says, I'm wrong. Why all this happened to me? Now, if man comes to know about the reality, he will never complain. It is only Iman that keeps man steadfast, firm on such occasions. A mu'min always accepts Allah's commands happily, that definitely there is some goodness in it, because my Rabb is not unjust to his slaves. Those who despair on seeing trials and they complain, they're short-sighted. They do not know about Allah's plans, His decisions. They look at temporary loss and benefit. A mu'min cannot do such, because near a mu'min, this world and this life is just a place of test. If I am given this life, so this is because of Allah's decision. And at any stage, if Allah wants to take back this life, so He's the owner, He can take it back. We all are Allah's slaves, His creation. That is why when someone dies, what do we read? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We all have to go and our return is to Allah. We are all Allah's slaves. He is the owner. His decision prevails everywhere. Whenever He wants, He can cause someone to die. No one can object or criticize. No one can question Allah. Allah knows and He is all-knowing. Like people despair on seeing some loss, or if someone dies, they grieve. So those who prefer this worldly life, they think like this, as it comes in the Quran, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. They only know about the apparent, the glamour of the world, and they're heedless to Akhirah. They do not know what is success of Akhirah. Today, if someone is hungry, poor, people think, he's a failure. He's a wretched person. Why? Because he's poor. But if he observes patience in this state, so tomorrow he will enter Jannah 500 years before the wealthy people. Like it comes in a hadith that in the worldly life, even if a thorn pricks a mu'min, Allah Ta'ala protects a reward for him in its exchange. This was a gist. So the glamour, success, greatness in this world have no value. Successful is the one who is successful in Akhirah as well. Wretched is not the one who has nothing in this world, who is poor, but wretched is the one who disobeys Allah in this life and he's a prey to deception, that he is very successful. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught Yusuf alayhi salam a plan how to detain his brother with him. نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We exalt in ranks whom we please. That is, in this world, if someone is facing hardships, griefs, so Allah says, we raise his degrees in Akhirah. You see, Yusuf alayhi salam, who was thrown in the well, sold for a few coins in the market of Egypt, lived as a slave. Then he was sent to jail. Now, apparently, it seems such a person is very unlucky, but near Allah, نَرْفَعُ دَرَجَاتٍ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. We exalt in ranks whom we please. And not only in the hereafter, but also in the dunya. He was shown the reward for all his sabr, patience, and being a muhsin, ihsan, or his ihsan. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. He is the one whose knowledge is far greater than the knowledge of all others. Meaning no one is perfect in knowledge. Mostly when we see someone with a lot of ilm, we are influenced. Although near Allah, over every person endowed with knowledge is a more knowledgeable person. If one excels in one field, the other will excel in another. For example, if you have a very high degree, go to China. Try to use your degree, but you will not understand their language, their word, So, now where is your knowledge, huh? Over there, you're ignorant. You have nothing. Or go to Russia, or any such country where you do not understand their language. Even if you have a PhD degree, but still you will be ignorant over there. You would not be able to read a single road sign. So what is your ilm then, huh? You're arrogant over your knowledge, living in a certain area or a country, or you have influenced people because of your knowledge? Actually, ilm, knowledge in Allah's eyes, is the one on which man acts upon as well. That is what man owns. Otherwise, there are many books, there are many libraries. For example, something is written in the books. So it is written in the books. You do not have it. What you did, you memorized it. First, it was on the paper, and now it is written. And now it is written on your heart. But you do not act upon it. Your amal is totally the opposite. So it doesn't matter the knowledge that was first in the books, and now it is in your heart. So this is not to be a knowledgeable person. But the one with knowledge is only the one who acts upon the knowledge that he has gained as well. Okay? Everyone has only this much share in the knowledge that he has gained, what he has in his amal as well. What is not in his amal is a proof against him. It has no benefit for him. For example, you've read people get one degree, then another, but there's nothing in their amal. So such a person cannot gain benefit from this knowledge that he has gained. This knowledge is not his. For example, you go to a market, you go to one shop and another, and you see beautiful things on display, and you buy nothing, and you come home. Tell me, do you have something in your hand? Everything was displayed beautifully in the counters. What share do you have of these things? Your share is what you bought, what you own, that belongs to you. But what is in the market? You don't own that. In the same way, you meet a scholar, you listen to his speech, you're greatly influenced. But when you come home and someone asks you, what did you learn? And how much did you act upon it? So after the class, if you're not capable of telling even one word, then you don't have anything. And if you don't act upon it, then you wasted all. You're not a knowledgeable person. So knowledge is not that you just read only or just to memorize something, but ilm is the name of amal. Actual ilm is amal. So overall endowed with knowledge is a more knowledgeable person that is near Allah. The degrees are according to amal, not only on the base of just memorizing books, that who has learned how much or who knows how many languages and who holds many degrees. And then over all those endowed with knowledge is the all-knowing Allah. وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. Over every person endowed with knowledge is a more knowledgeable person until all knowledge ends with Allah. Verily, knowledge started from Allah, and from Him the scholars learn, and to Him all knowledge returns. قالوا, they said, إن يسرق فقد سرق أخله من قبل. Now at this accusation, his brothers remarked, there is nothing strange if he has committed a theft, for his brother also committed a theft before him. He had a brother who also stole. Min qabl, Benjamin's brother too stole. Now, what was the use of telling all this? That is exactly what we do, huh? We bring in irrelevant issues so that we can support the other person. Now, if Benjamin is accused of theft, then why is his brother being mentioned here? You see, this is the envy in their hearts. Still, they have hatred for Yusuf alayhi salam in their hearts. So they said, if he has committed a theft, it is not much of a surprise, for he had a brother who, like him, had committed a theft before. Now, for example, if someone has done anything wrong, for example, and it is like you say, oh yes, her sister once committed a mistake as well. So it's wrong, okay? On one's mistake, should the entire family be blamed? Such things come under laugh. They do not need to be mentioned at all. So instead of protecting their brother, they blamed him more for the theft by saying this, that yes, he is a thief because his brother was a thief as well. Now, if we look at it logically, so-and-so is a thief because his brother too was a thief. What reality does this hold? Nothing, huh? You're a scholar because your brother is a scholar. You have done graduation because your brother too has done graduation. No, this is totally irrelevant. But by this, they gave some kind of support to the opponents. Now, here the brothers, they accused him of a theft, which refers to an event which took place during Yusuf alayhisalam's childhood. It comes in some narrations that during his childhood, Yusuf alayhisalam, once in his maternal grandmother's house, he saw a statue, so he brought it out secretly and he broke it. Now, due to the apparent similarity between theft and this incident, they said he's a thief. Now, they labeled him a thief. Then what happened? فَأَصَرَّهَا يُوسُفُ فِي نَفْسِهِ. Hearing this, Yusuf suppressed his feelings. وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. And did not reveal anything to them. قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌ مَكَانًا. And he simply whispered to himself, what a bad people you are. He said this in his heart. You're accusing me on my face. Before me, you're saying all this bad about me. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. You are accusing me of something, the truth of which Allah knows. Allah knows the truth of what you assert. Now, if we were there, would we remain quiet? No, we would shout and say, when did I steal? But he suppressed it, hid it. He has such a high character, beautiful personality. He hears such a big accusation and remains quiet. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah knows the truth of what you assert. Allah knows all that. قَالُوا, they said, يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزُ, O noble prince. Look at this. At one end, they call him a thief. And here, يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزُ, O the noble prince, huh? إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا. He, that is Benjamin, has a very aged father who may not be able to survive without him. فَخُزْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَهُ. So please take one of us instead of him. Now the brothers of Yusuf alayhisalam realize that nothing seems to be working here and they have no option left but to leave Benjamin behind. They tried to flatter Hazrat Yusuf and they told him that Benjamin's father was very old and weak and his separation will be unbearable for him. Therefore they requested him that he should detain anyone from among them in exchange of him. They also told him that they were making the request to him in the hope that he, as they feel, appears to be a very generous person or he has been generous to them earlier too. That is why they said, إِنَّ نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We see that you are one of those who do good to others. You see, again, he gets the same credit, محسنين, because in reality, Yusuf alayhi salam was a محسن. That is why he got this title. You see, who's not a Mohsin, so no one calls him such. It seems it was a part of his personality. To be Mohsin was a characteristic of his personality. You see, the prisoners, they said to him that we see you, that you are a Mohsin. And now his brothers, they say this too. Like, you know, the truth is that which shows by itself, you don't have to publicize it at all. Because it becomes a part of one's personality. One cannot pretend. إِنَّ نَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. We see that you are one of those who do good to others. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ أَن نَأْخُذَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَدْنَا مَتَاعَنَا عِنْدَهُ. Yusuf replied, God forbid that we should seize other than the one with whom we found our property. How come we can punish the other who's not on mistake? Inna idhal la zalimun. If we did so, then indeed we would be unjust.